Welcome in to Real Kipper and Bourne. I am Justin Bourne. You're probably not used to my voice bringing you in. And that is because we're without Nick Kiprios today. But we have upgraded. We have picked up on the waiver wire today.
With
picked
up extra one peppers.
Gord Stellick. Gord, how are you?
Well, what am I, the James Reimer, waiver wire pickup? I'm really good. I guess Kipper's visiting his daughter. Is that right?
Yeah.
Or is he trying to keep it quiet? Is he on assignment?
Yeah, he's in parts unknown.
He's getting his Stanley Cup ring refitted or something, whatever.
The honest answer is like, you wouldn't even believe how little we communicate off the air. I think he's in Eastern USA somewhere.
I think he's maybe going to see a Clemson football game potentially. I don't really know.
But when you
go to South Carolina,
when you chat with Kipper,
yes,
like you'll chat. He's very personable.
Oh yeah.
But you'll chat and he'll be distracted by a myriad of things, usually texting, and then you'll get the delayed 3 minutes later. So what? Wow. So your son's doing? Yeah, that's what I said 3 minutes ago. I didn't think you were listening. And
I would say 80% of my mornings start with him on his phone as I walk in going, "What's up, bud?" And I say, "Yeah, I was just doing this." And he goes, "Good." No processing of it. It's great. Thanks for joining us, Gord. We appreciate it.
Yeah.
We got Derek Brandeo and Jake the Snake Schultz on tech. We are live on Sportsnet 5. Oh, it's Frank the Tank, Sam McKee.
Yep.
On the hook for that one. We'll welcome.
Listen,
Nebraska in the house.
It's an absolute rotating cast of characters up there.
Yeah.
I'll eat that one, but yeah, it's my bad. Sorry, Frankie boy.
But live on 590 The Fan and Sportsnet 360 and Sportsnet Plus. So, Gord, we haven't had you in studio yet this year.
Mm-hmm.
The Leafs have played a few hockey games. Do you want to share some early impressions of this year's Toronto Maple Leafs?
Well, first, I love what you've done with the place.
Thank you.
Yeah, looks really good. Maybe it looks the same, but that, okay, the Toronto Maple Leafs, it's like my taking calculus.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so in grade 12, there was grade 13 back then, and then
insane to me as a boy.
First and second year university, I took it. You had to take it for 1 year. And then because my mark didn't quite hit 50, I took it for a second year. So it's like every year I felt good about things.
Yeah.
And then the exam happened and it didn't go so great. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the Toronto Maple Leafs. So I feel good about things again.
Okay.
Like I've done every year. And the final exam, which we'll talk about game number 82 and a half, game number 83, of course, will be the ultimate litmus test. But as far as the positives now, lots of positives. Like finding a way to win games. Come in first place.
Yeah.
Get home ice advantage. Don't have the tough first-round opponent, right? Just get the whole thing about kicking ass, scoring your building, making home a difficult place for opponents to play. So I've liked all that. I don't get overly excited that Austin Matthews hadn't scored, mm-hmm. that the power play hadn't worked, whatever it may be. What kind of effect is Craig Berube going to make? What kind of effect is Austin wearing the C going to do? It's a lot to expect in five games, that minutia. But that's what we do. That's why we have talk radio and talk TV. So I just look at it a big, big positive start, which a lot of other teams can't say they have that. It's nice to get a positive start.
So, Gordia, a lot of people talk to you about the Leafs. I'm assuming a lot of people come to you about the Leafs, talk to you about the Leafs in your day-to-day life.
Yeah.
I have to say, the tone around the start of this season is much different than even in the last 2 years.
Feels like they've been studying harder than you in calculus, Gord, is what he's saying.
I'm saying is that I think the change of coach, and I think we all kind of pined for change in the offseason, talking about Marner potentially getting all that stuff that didn't happen. But the thing that did happen was the new coach. And I feel like the talk around them amongst my friends, amongst my Leaf fan people that are in my life, it's a much more positive feel and less, I don't know what the right word for it is. It just feels a little more positive in the conversations I have. Do you feel the same way?
Well, I think so. And I'm not going to fly off the handle like I did this, but I like flying off the handle about the big differences and Sheldon Keefe actually saying, "We didn't finish it."
Mm-hmm.
So I got a great regular season coaching record. I'm going to get another job. He didn't say that, but he did get another job.
Yep.
But no, we did not complete the deal as an ownership, a management, a coach, and the players. And finally, they're espousing that understanding. It doesn't cut it. I did a corporate thing once, one and only once, that Brendan Shanahan, we did kind of a hot stove with the Milk Group. I must have done well because they're now on their jerseys for the last 3 years.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, was there about 1,000
people?
Big
Milk called you.
There's a lot of milk out there. So about 1,000 people. And so let me get it right. So it's heading into COVID, so 2020, so middle of that season.
Yeah.
COVID hadn't hit yet. And someone asked that question about if you don't have the playoff success. And he said, I know it's not the answer you want to hear. I know it's not the sexy answer, but you just have to go back at it again and, you know, believe in what you do and all that. But, you know, here we are 4 years later. Mm-hmm. So I think even Brendan Shannon would say, I wouldn't give that same answer 4 years later like I gave back then. That was before they played Columbus and Montreal and all those things. So it held water for a few years. They had a plan. It was going well. But now, yeah. So I just think there any kind of positive, how will it translate later in the playoffs? Well, you got to think positively. If it's going well, you know, that's going to be a good thing.
Yeah, I think, isn't it the old metaphor that like a rock splitter, like you hit the same place a million times and it doesn't happen, then the million and first time it just splits in two. It kind of feels like the Maple Leafs' only hope here, that this thing all at once just kind of comes together, even though the metaphor is about falling apart.
Anyway. And they weren't saying, they weren't saying, oh, the criticisms were for poor so-and-so.
Yeah.
Like, that used to be the thing, you know? Like it'd be like poor Gord getting criticized for flunking calculus, and you're, well, I should. Well, what do you mean poor Gord? Like, whatever. I mean, I got to take it again, and I got to, whatever. It's on me, right?
Well, that's just the Marner conversation, is it not?
I said a player. But anyway, But that's what's different now. You're 100% right about, no, never mind that crap. Okay, whatever. Just, you know, and I like it. They all own up. They got a very comfortable group on and off the ice. They get it. This could be, like, you see Crosby and Malkin the other night, you know, just the milestones together. Like, honest to God, like, in X number of years, these guys could all, I'll include Riley, but the three forwards and then Riley. But that could be them. Mm-hmm. They could be setting records like, oh my God, it's Austin's 1,000th point tonight. Yeah. Mitch got his 700th assist last week.
But how different is it if it doesn't come with team success?
Totally. That it's not successful.
Yeah.
That it's not successful. But I mean, that's what it could be. I mean, they've committed to being here. Mitch apparently wants to be here. So theoretically, if they get some team playoff success, that could be a case down the road. That'd be neat.
It is funny. You see guys who had great careers. I think of Charles Barkley on the TNT broadcast who constantly just like, he has to hear about it all the time. It doesn't matter what his individual accomplishments were. The thing that stands out when you think of Barkley is like, he's the guy who didn't win it. So
yeah,
it will have an effect.
I think the best parallel for the Leafs would be the Sharks, right? Would be that era of the Sharks. But the Sharks went deep in playoffs. They went to the finals a couple, like they go twice or once.
I think they did, but lost. I also think it was later in the tenure.
Yeah.
There's no parallel.
Yeah.
There's no parallel. No. Even the Washington Capitals, when they hadn't won the Stanley Cup, would win playoff rounds.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay?
You're right.
That's true. They're losing the second round of the Penguins.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, something, whatever. Yeah, they'd get by. Yeah, you know, but no, this is sort of unparalleled.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, if they're going to get through, one of the things that's been talked about is goaltending. Love to talk about that because Ilya Samsonov is not the guy. Go back years. None of them were the guy. Joseph Woll was supposed to be the guy this year. Anthony Stolarz looks unbelievable, but the Woll injury story still interests me. We do have an update.
We have two separate updates.
Two separate updates from Berube, and do we not have one from Woll? We have two four clips on
yeah,
this.
Yeah,
we Does do. One contradict the other?
No.
Okay, good.
Right. Woll,
you drive the bus on the clips in the order there.
So all right, well, we'll start with Berube clip one, just his first update on Woll.
How did Woll look to you today?
Good. Yeah, he's out there with us, which is a great sign. And, you know, it seems like, you know, he's really heading in the right direction. All good.
Good. I like that one.
Google the phrase vague.
Jeez. But also, it seemed like he was in good spirits there.
Berube clip two update on Woll, please, Derek.
Do you have a sense of a timeline for when you might be ready for games?
Sooner than later, I would think. But, you know, you got to kind of take it day by day still. You know, I think it's important here after practice just to see where he's at. And I haven't talked to him yet, so we'll figure that out.
Way to go, Craig. He's learned. Be personable. He
actually
was
anything.
He was an insider for us on NHL Morning Skate after he got fired in St. Louis. He was once a week insider, Craig.
Oh, yeah?
And he was good. He was a little more forthcoming than that. But he understood about Toronto, like in a sense. So yeah, be personable, be friendly. Yeah. Don't be a jerk.
Don't say anything.
But don't get, you know, like be. I don't call it vague, but you're right. Yeah.
Well, David. Hey,
yeah. Well, he's not being inaccurate. He was on the ice. It's like Gord showed up for calculus class.
Yeah, you know?
He's doing a great job of putting on a nice guy move here.
For sure. Just, you know, it's October 18th.
October 18th?
Yeah, of the first year of his tenure.
Yes.
So we're 2 weeks into his career.
He's doing a great job of being a nice guy.
But who said he's not a nice guy?
I know.
No, he is a nice guy.
I know he's a nice guy, but I just mean in terms of like not, you know, I'm saying he's doing a great job because I wouldn't be able to sit there every day and answer these questions about Wall when he clearly doesn't really know, I would be like, you know what? I'll tell you when it's ready. Like, it's
well, I love being here and evaluating these comments and not being Luke Fox, who has to lob the question every day. And then, because one day it feels like he's going to be like, enough.
Yeah, but you got to ask it. No, I mean, hey, look what they're making money wise. And this is a big part of their job.
Yeah.
They don't allow assistant coaches to speak anymore, right? There's only one voice. And, you know, Mike Babcock, we went through these Sermon on the Mounts all the time, you know, him lecturing us about things. So I thought Sheldon Keefe was really good at this. But Craig Berube, the misnomer is he's not, and even Vince Lombardi was beloved by him. I'm going way back, but you know, those kind of old legends, right? Beloved by his players when it was all said and done. Everyone's kind of going, look, Craig Berube, he's not going to take that crap. If you coach like that or think you can from decades ago, you're screwed in 2024.
Yeah.
You know, and he gets it. So there is a difference. There's something he has and it's good. And I don't know whether you would call it toughness or an edge or whatever that is different than what Sheldon Keefe had or others. And it's a big time positive. And it was a significant reason why the St. Louis Blues won a Stanley Cup.
For sure. And we also have Wool on this.
Yeah. Right? So we can play the first Wool clip.
Is he vague too about himself?
His first clip, please, Derek, on his injury. Wall.
We spoke to you right before the season. You sounded so excited to play in that first game. What happened? Yeah. What kept you out?
Yeah, you know, just a little bit of groin tightness, and feeling better now. So right now, I'm just focused on coming back and helping Steam.
Okay. He said a thing. He said what it is. God, that's nice.
Yep. Boy, that's never a problem historically. Goalies with groin tightness.
Always works out perfectly.
The Ottawa Senators are waiting for Dominic Hasek to come back from the Olympics that year.
Oh, no.
Groin tightness. You're so right.
But, okay, it's a groin. Nice.
And then his second clip, please, Derek, where go ahead.
You know, truthfully, I don't want to get too much more into it, if that's okay. Just focus on getting better now.
So he did what I would do. He said, I don't want to do it anymore. I don't want to talk about it anymore. So...
what else do you have to say about groin tightness?
That's a great point.
There's no separate questions about it.
But there's no additional information there. My groin was tight.
Well, is your left side
worse than your right side? Like, what are you going to, like, come on.
Yeah. That answer came off of somebody asking when it happened and what it was that it happened. Like, how did it happen, basically? And he's like, and he just said, I don't want to talk about it anymore. So.
That's good reporting, whoever
asked. I don't blame him.
So, but I don't really blame the reporter either for following up.
Of course. There's no such a thing as a bad question.
No.
So the big question is, Gord, where are you at with Wall?
That's a brutal question.
No, that's a big question.
Yeah.
Where are you at with him?
So game number one, where I'm at, and again, I want to get perspective and context.
Yes.
But I did say game number one that, okay, things about the season. You know, you just got to – guys, they have to find their scoring in the playoffs.
Yep.
So they'll score in the regular season, whatever. Guys have to come up with a big game-defining moment that doesn't show in the score sheet. And so far they've had that, whether it's the third or fourth line being a difference in games. Mm. But then about – the goaltender's health. So when he did not play game 7 last year and then wasn't ready for game 1, I said, oh, crap, one of the boxes already is unchecked, okay? And that remains unchecked. It'll remain unchecked to game number 83 for El Gordo. Mm-hmm. Even if he plays 45 games and doesn't get hurt again, there's still that kind of worry. But the flip side, there's no surprise. If you followed last year, Anthony Stolar statistically was one of the top goaltenders in the NHL. And goaltending's the one thing that statistics really you can – you know, even you don't have to look deep.
No.
You can look deep for other stuff, and you're quite good at that. But goaltending, it's pretty simple. People can look and make, you know, hey, goals against average, save percentage, yada, yada, yada. So that was the plus that, unlike Samsonov, like you said earlier, they got somebody else that, you know, another stud. Mm-hmm. I'm just really big on Joe Wall. I'm really big on him. If he gets the chance, what I've seen, I've really liked. But I just, when it starts again, that's a legitimate concern.
It is funny that we feel no closer to an answer. Like, is he available soon? We got games Monday, Tuesday, Thursday next week. I expect him to be in a Leafs jersey by Tuesday.
You'd hope.
I would hope.
I just, you know, I think at some point here.
No, but what's the difference? What do you mean you hope? What's the difference?
Well,
so what if it's another week? So another 2 weeks.
Well,
I think.
I don't know. Like, how much of a Band-Aid are you okay with a guy being before it's like, is a real problem?
Well, no, I just
gave him 11 million
bucks. I know you
bucks.
Want him to get healthy, too. You're not talking about rushing him, but I'm just saying, okay, like, whatever it is, then he gets back. And like I said, I even said if he plays the rest of the season and doesn't have another, like, game loss due to injury, but whether he misses the next 2 games or the next 10 games, you're still going to be kind of on pins and needles the next time, go, oh, no, not again. You know, 50 games into the season, whatever it may be.
That's basically what, I mean, it's a fan's perspective, but even when he gets back into the game, every shot that goes towards him, you're going to be thinking about it. And I'm sure, like, people that work in the
Nobody
organization.
Nobody thinks like you, Sam. No.
You don't think, like, every, come on. Every shot. You don't think you're living.
Watch the bloody
you don't think you're living
like,
is sitting
every
there.
Shot, like, yeah, this game's good. Oh, my God, game. Shot against
well,
Joe Wall.
I would say that, and you mentioned the Game 7 thing last year, that it really
damaging.
Was a deep cut in terms of how it made everybody feel. And I think it paints a lot of how we're feeling about it to start this year, like you mentioned in your thing there. I would like to see him get in there soon.
Yeah.
Like I don't want to be listening to Berube every day being like, yeah, it's getting close because it's.
Well, he doesn't want to say it either.
No, I know he doesn't. Yeah. But he's being a nice guy.
Remember we went that whole thing about we had to get, because Kawhi Leonard with load management. So we had to get Freddie load management.
Mm-hmm.
And then Freddie started getting hurt all the time. Right.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah,
anyway.
It's. Goaltenders are like voodoo, and no one seems to have an answer.
But it is nice.
The one thing about Stolarz that I like is the question you've labeled as "What's the catch?"
Yeah,
like it just seems like everything's great. Great guy, big guy, moves well, stops the puck. 29 years old, cheap. What are we missing?
Yeah,
well, be the Charlie Lindgren this year.
Yeah,
the Charlie Lindgren of Washington, right? That's why Darcy Kemper's in LA. Like, the guy gets a chance. And he could be the guy.
Could be the guy.
And too bad, Joe Wall. Like, you know, Jordan Binnington sees the opportunity in St. Louis. Yeah. Too bad, Billy Husso, who was ahead of him you know, at the time. That'd be great.
Not the guy is Timothy Liljegren.
Mm.
On the back end, God, they practiced today, and Liljegren's out again.
Yeah.
He's back out. You know, you mentioned before we came on air the shot attempts when he was on the ice last game. Like, how does that happen? 20 against and 2-4. Tough to get back in the lineup when you're a fringe guy, but... Boy, tough to do anything with Liljegren if he doesn't play hockey games. Like, he's just going to watch until Timmins gets hurt. But on the other hand, how do you keep Timmins out? Who didn't do anything wrong? And I think they just wanted to get Liljegren in at some point.
Yeah. It's got to be tough to be Liljegren because we've talked about this, Gordo, that he's not exactly the type of guy that's going to go in there and do a bunch of amazing things to, like, wow you, right? Like, his whole thing is to be sort of solid and just kind of a quiet defenseman. And when you're trying to make an impact on a coach, maybe that's not the best thing to do. I don't know what your thoughts are on him, but it seems like they're in a tough spot with him.
Well, they weren't really thrilled about his contract negotiation either. I know, you know, kind of just thought that it could have been handled differently and settled more amicably, whatever. But, I mean, they move on from stuff.
Yeah,
they should. But it kind of showed a... It showed a sign of how he valued himself, and they, you know, they negotiated probably a little higher than they wished. I mean, it's just after Rasmus Sandin and Stuart Percy years ago and that, like, can we develop a defenseman in Toronto?
Yeah.
Like, you know, Morgan Riley, is it? You know, so you're hoping, and I'm honest to God, Justin, I'm trying to remember now that when Liljegren played his best, you know, it's all kind of morphing together because I thought Rasmus Sandin had kind of crossed to the next level. And I mean, they did get a first round pick for him and they used it quite well with Easton Cowan, right? You know, but in the case of Liljegren, I'm trying to think, do you remember, like, when did he play his best? Like, it seems like he never did now, but I know like what was
last year in like February, there March, there was like a time when it was like, he's figured it out.
And before the Marchand thing, like at the start of the year last year, he had really kind of turned it on a bit, and then Marchand trips him into the end boards, and
he's too.
High ankle sprain. I remember we were talking about him being on the way up.
Got his footing back.
Yeah, the injury thing,
But, you know, it's funny because he came back from that, and we chalked up a run of poor play to, oh, he's coming off this injury, but he looks like that same guy now, so was it related to injury at all then? Tough to say. We do have Berube on Connor Timmins, who I think is a pretty... like a decently high upside guy, given the way he sees the ice, his size, right shot. So let's hear Berube, clip 3.
I thought he played well. Moving the puck and doing those things, he's capable of doing that. He's a good puck mover. He's a good playmaker. He can make plays. He sees the ice pretty well. And for me, it's all about the defensive side of things. You know, he was killing penalties, which was good, and he did a good job. And you know, making sure he's strong defensively, strong in the battles, you know, winning those, because that's important, because that's what we need from him.
I wish we had yesterday's Liljegren clip from Berube, because he said he needs to be strong in the battles, win his battles. Like, he's like, whoever's going to be my 6D, I would like you to win.
He was fine. I mean, he's out there killing penalties.
So the interesting part about...
He got, 14 minutes, 5-on-5? I don't know what it was.
Liljegren yesterday?
Oh, yeah.
You know, he was pretty solid.
Yeah, I don't know if that's the one, but whatever. The same idea is that he wants that D to win puck battles.
So
not asking much.
So here's maybe the whole flip of things, that he is the example Craig Berube is using. Mm-hmm. That, okay, you're the third and fourth line line, the forwards, it seems to be they understand the style of play Craig Berube wants them to play. Like, and we talk about it, more north-south. Not that Sheldon Keefe wanted them to go exclusively east-west, but just right. a little bit more about, and we saw with the goals they got about, like, Lawrence, the one about just being more aggressive, maybe taking more chances. You may end up with more odd man rushes against, but whatever kind of thing, if you got a chance to press in the offensive zone, take it. Come at them hard,
yeah.
okay? And we've seen that. And probably what he's saying, look, if you're going to be a fifth or sixth defenseman on my team, you got to play a certain style.
Mm-hmm.
And Liljegren, you ain't playing it,
right?
Okay? And the rest of the team, he ain't playing it right now.
Yeah.
And if you're going to be my fifth or sixth D, or if you're going to be my third or fourth line, that's a minimum. You got to play that. You know, I can take from, you know, Marner and Willie and other guys, they can get a little more slack or what do you want to call it. I mean, you're not going to be able to cheat, but I mean, you guys got to do that.
Yeah.
That's a style that I insist you play.
Yeah, I think Derek does have yesterday's clip on Liljegren because it is funny to hear him say that about Timmins, and now let's hear the Liljegren one.
He has ability, right? Skating, moving the puck and things like that, and he should be a good puck mover. And it's just about him managing his game and managing his puck movement and making good decisions with it, not risky ones, and simple, just simplify. And then you got to win your battles, right? As a defenseman, it's important that you're defending well and you're strong at your net front and you're winning those board battles and corner battles and things like that. He's got to do that.
And if you're Yanni Hockenpah hearing Berube talk about what you want from your 6D, you're just like,
yeah,
let me in.
Yeah.
I'm your guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
We'll see if his knees will allow him to get in.
Yeah, I think Kipper said it yesterday. If you're playing Benoit and Hockenpah as your bottom pair, you need somebody to snap it out of there and break it out a bit. But maybe not those two guys. Maybe they're more for penalty killing or whatever. But those two together.
Hockenpah.
For sure. But
also, Kip's going, yeah, if he gets 25, 30 games, that'd be good. Well, when does that start? When do we start talking about him?
Well, he's still in the LCIR, right?
Yeah, so he was. But, I mean, they signed him in, like, July.
Wow.
Well, for the first time.
The first time. Right. I was going to say the first time for 2 years. And then at the start of training camp, it was for 1 year.
And we had an orthopedic surgeon come on and say all it is pain management. So when, like, it's not growing cartilage between the knees. So,
yeah, well, I don't know about what injury. Well, again, I don't know about injuries. Like,
no.
Like, just when we talk about Joe Wall or anybody and how a player. So what the orthopedic guy is saying that that's always the thing when someone says you can't do any structural damage to it, correct? Mm. Like, you just got pain and you got to play through the pain. And so are we saying he can't play through the pain? Is that
well, the implication is how much pain can he handle? Was
right.
That's how many games he'll play? Was the implication from Jason Smith,
yeah,
Dr. Jason Smith. So,
and he's skating now, right? So, like, he's on the ice at practice. Right. So, I mean, so is Dewar.
So maybe 10 games, or sorry, maybe like, was it 7 games or 10 games till he can play?
10 games. I think it's 10 when they're going to LTIR. I think it's 10 games. So, yeah, it'll still be a little while before they're eligible to come off.
And regardless, I'm not going to get way ahead, but everyone does to the trade deadline.
Yeah.
But they're going to have to add a Joel Edmondson again as a minimum.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're going to have to add a depth to you. I mean, that's just kind of understanding, looking at that. And that's not a, you know, that's not a ridiculous price. And that, and Luke Shen, I mean, those were two really good examples of what the last couple of years about picking that up. So anyway, the Leaf D still has that look that, okay, we need one more chip and we need guys to stay healthy.
Yeah. It feels like it's there for Liljegren or Timmins, but I don't think that's the fit Berube wants.
He could probably use a center too.
Yeah.
Some point here.
That would be decent.
Yeah.
You want to do the Tavares line or Rempe Reeves?
Well, we can talk a little bit about Rempe Reeves, but somebody asked Berube about it today and just, like, it was the circus coming to town last year. The reporter said the circus coming to town last year with Rempe coming in.
It was. Rempe, he was in the thick of everything.
Yeah. And what basically Berube thought the role of fighting was these days. And he answered the question there. So play that clip there.
You know, you go out and play the game. You're that type of player. Ryan Reeves type of player, you're physical, you're doing your job, you're mixing it up, banging bodies hard in front of the nets. Sometimes things happen. And guys like Ryan Reeves and Rempe who play that way and they're physical on the forecheck and they're going to take the body. Sometimes the other guys take reaction to it and you know, they're willing to drop their gloves and fight. I mean, that's really what it boils down to. I mean, there's other guys that, you know, they play the game hard, but they're not willing to do that side of things. And that's where I think fighting is. I mean, you go out and play hard and physical, and sometimes things happen and the gloves come off.
There's one guy that knows what he's talking about when it comes to that.
You have 3,000 things?
Yeah, I think he's up there. Getting close. Rempe's played one game so far this year, and it was played for 340.
Like, is that the Utah best hockey thing club for his development?
Yeah, no, I'm baffled because they put him in the spotlight last year.
Yeah.
And he was really effective. I mean, he's kind of, he got temporarily tainted with not, with the wave and not fighting that one particular time. But, but I thought, man, he came up with big goals, big plays. And man, that was a cheap shot in Lyubushkin last year.
Oh yeah.
I mean, that was a cheap shot, you know, and he hurt Lyubushkin in that game against the Maple Leafs. So the only thing I will say about the fighting part, and you noticed it with the Couturier hit on Stuart Skinner, is like Craig, and I think it's different in 2024, that all that's fine, but you also have to be aware of the score.
Mm-hmm.
So there's like Sean Couturier, don't poke the bear.
Right.
Edmonton's done. Like they're, and you gave them, they're dying for that.
Yep.
You poke the bear, so there's a fight, and then Corey Perry starts a second fight, and you know, you come back, and that's just the one.
Inject emotion into the game.
So that's just a little bit, whether you're Rempe or whether you're Ryan Reeves, you know, and Reeves, I mean, go play your game. And see, early in the game, you can do that, because generally, if it's your first shift, okay, it's 0-0, and you get out of the way. Other times, if you're trying to make an impression, well, understand the score and understand the momentum and keep that as a factor.
I will say, Rempe last year, though, he was across the line. Like, he was violent for a while there, a couple of devil's hits on guys who he seriously injured. Did he get suspended at least once? Like, there was a lot of hits where it was like, he's playing 7 minutes a game, and every night there's a highlight of should he get suspended or not.
Yeah.
I don't know how you help him find the line by playing 3 minutes and 50 seconds on the season.
340 on the season,
340 on the season. Like, is it so bad for him to play for the Hartford Wolfpack and play 60 games, then 22 years old, he's ready?
Well, it's going to be a great question for Dave Maloney. He's going to join us later, because that's the question. Okay, like he's a throwback to an old era. Okay,
yes.
And everyone said he's going to have to adapt, or he ain't going to survive. But he continued to more than survive. He continued to thrive. So what's gone on this year within the sanctum? We don't know, the dressing room or whatever, that they've decided, where last year they threw him out for the outdoor game. They threw they threw him out in high profile situations. That he's not playing now, so I'm curious what gives, because last year showed that he's a raw material.
Yeah.
But the way he played last year, there was a role for him in the NHL.
He's also now 6'9", so he's got to figure out how to coordinate those limbs, because that's like NBA almost center.
He should play goal.
He played a bunch of playoff games too for them.
No, totally. Yeah. That's what I mean, Sam. That's when I kept thinking last year. Okay, it's going to. It's going to end. And no, he would be out there. And more often than not, he got it wasn't a goal, but he interfered to create a goal. And
yeah, I remember
just a lot of different things. Yeah, they're always
the fourth line wing. They have Adam Edstrom and Johnny Brodzinski.
Yeah.
That's
a great,
Johnny Brodzinski.
Hell of a handle. But he took the league by storm. Like, we're not.
Totally.
More than any player has in years.
Like, and people were talking about
that kind of role.
Him. Yeah. They're chanting his name at Madison Square Garden. Like, it's crazy. Anyways, speaking of which, probably take a break for Dave.
Okay. We have Dave Maloney from the MSG Network after this, former Rangers defenseman. We will talk to him about Saturday night, Rempe, Shesterkin, and much more. Join us after the break.
Hey, it's Matt Marchese.
And I'm Mike Fiuta.
We're discussing the top stories of the day across the NHL and the hockey world, weekdays at noon.
It's the Fan Hockey Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Real Kipper and Bourne, joined by Gord Stellick today, which is a lovely change of pace. Not that, we don't love our Kipper Friday, but, Gord, nice to have you.
Yeah. Different show.
A different show.
Was Kipper's doing like Johnny Carson and David Letterman now, like 4 days a week or something? Is that the deal? Like when you get really big?
He's negotiated a shortened work week. Shortly we'll be joined by Dave Maloney from Madison Square Garden or MSG Networks. To talk about the Rangers playing the Toronto Maple Leafs Saturday night. And the Rangers look like maybe the only team in the league that are as good as the Leafs so far. They're off to a really good start, Gord.
They are. And you're right. As far as the creme of the Eastern Conference, it's interesting because there's been a lot of shifting with the Atlantic Division teams trying to stay up there, stay afloat. And then in the Metropolitan, with Carolina looking to go down, really the Rangers are the only team from there that people think is the kind of cinch to for sure be in the playoffs and make that run to get where they want to get and where the Leafs want to get.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I was talking to someone this morning who was saying that this Rangers team should win a cup. And it's, you know, it's interesting. Last year they win the President's Trophy. They have arguably the best goalie in the league. You know, maybe you like Hellebuck, maybe you like Swayman, but he's one of those guys. Do you think that guys like Panarin and Zibanejad and Kreider, older guys like that, have what it takes? Because they've kind of had the Leaf issue where Panarin has not been amazing in the postseason.
Well, no, you're right. Real good comparable. And it's been longer for the Leafs because the Rangers, well, maybe not. They had the, I don't know who the first was to send the letter to the fans, but the Rangers did that years ago and actually caught a lot of the players by surprise. It was around the trade deadline about doing the rebuild, the retool, and they never had drafted in the top three.
Is that right?
Three.
Not all the players knew?
Well, no, because we were talking to them. I remember trying one of them on the air. They weren't that thrilled. But then they ever draft in the top three, and they get Lafreniere number one overall. Mm-hmm. They get Kaapo Kakko number two overall, and now you got the expectations. And interesting,
2018 February 8th
was the letter.
Wow. February, okay.
And then they win the President's Trophy 5 years later.
Yeah, was it a letter or email? I wonder if you actually send a letter now.
No, it was a letter.
It was a media release.
Okay,
yeah, I'll save you guys me trying to read it.
Yeah,
because it's never pretty when I try to read something. So.
But, you know, that back end, Keandre Miller, Adam Fox, Braden Schneider, Jacob Trouba, pretty solid. I mean, third pair, not sure about Zach Jones or Victor Mancini. But yeah. Either way, this is a pretty loaded team. So the Leafs right now have a pretty good, pretty solid lineup all throughout. We have a pretty good idea of where people are. One of the things that has been in question is Tavares as a second-line center or third-line center. I think, why don't we listen to Craig Berube, clip five here, get his take on the one line that's been a bit of a bugaboo here, the Holmberg-Tavares-Robertson line, clip five, please.
Well, I know it was a tough game, Johnny T, with, you know, being sick and not skating much, but, you know, that line's got some speed for sure on the wings. You know, you got Holmberg, who's a versatile center wing, either position, so you got really two face-off guys in that line, and... you know, you got two guys that are, you know, really good down in their own zone defensively. So it's a good makeup of the line. I think that we haven't gotten the real makeup yet with Johnny being sick. And, you know, Robbie's a worker. Robbie's got speed and he works. And Holmberg's a solid two-way player. You know, and Homer and I have talked. He's got to be better, too. I think that he had a real good camp, and he's not happy with his last two games, and he'll be better.
The Holmberg thing's interesting to me because he hasn't been very good.
No, and what I found was, and I know you had when Brad Treliving did the car wash, right? Mm-hmm. He was on here too, right?
I don't know.
Okay, well, anyway.
We don't get anyone.
anyway, he was doing the car wash where he did a lot of things except you guys.
Yeah.
And
he turned his back on real.
So you talked about Nick Robertson, asked about Pacioretty and that. He brought up Pontus Holmberg, you know, which is interesting because if somebody brings it up, a coach or a general manager, that's a good sign. And boy, that first period against Pittsburgh, he couldn't, you know, he's get a chance. John Tavares out. Oh, geez, Pontus Holmberg instead of Max Domi, you know, being moved up. And first of all, he didn't shoot when he could. Like he had a myriad of things went awry in 20 minutes. He couldn't have had a worse 20 minutes.
Well, he almost fell over on the penalty kill and he was spinning in a circle.
He just flat out forgot what he was supposed to do. Yeah. Like he forgot the penalty kill. That was the most glaring one. And he was noticed for all the wrong reasons.
Yes.
And then Domi comes out. Now, if Jenny Malkin make it a terrible line change was a big reason they had the 2.5 zero breakaway. But Max Domi happens to get the first shift with that line. It sets up Willie Nylander, and then you're off to the races. That changes things around, and Pontus Holberg's time on that second line is over. And good call by Craig Berube. Good call by the coaching staff about being a bench coach and deploying players, because that's a huge, huge part of coaching still.
It's funny, you know, I tend to think of guys like Pontus Holmberg as like the very definition of interchangeable. He's fine. You know, like he can play wing, he can play center, but he doesn't. Not the fastest or the biggest or the best shot or anything. He's just a fine player. However, he is strong enough to be effective if he'll play the way. I think Berube is going to make a hockey player out of this guy in terms of two-way. He said you get two face-off guys on that line. So win face-offs, kill penalties, be sort of a guy that then they can say, hey, is David Kampf expendable now? You know, like, can we maybe spend 800 instead of 2.4? for the guy who kills penalties and wins faceoffs. And that changes the dynamic of your team a little bit when you could free up some money heading towards the trade deadline.
Well, I think he's, we said, like Timothy Liljegren, he's kind of saying, you don't play my style, you know, and whoever's going to play that has got to play my style, fifth and 6th D, okay? Mm-hmm. I think and the fact Trilliving mentioned Holmberg means they've talked in that context, like you said, Justin, and meaning about, I believe this guy can play this way. Mm-hmm. I like this guy. He's got to play a certain way, though. He's got to just play the brew, whatever it may be.
Him and McMahon.
And, yeah, and that's going to be the difference maker if we do it. So he got a chance to, you know, go in the, as we say, the deep end of the pool, you know, you got with the cool kids. And maybe he didn't play his game. I don't know what it was, because he really did look out of sorts in just a short period of time. But obviously they believe in him, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. One thing I do believe that Berube is going to be able to help McMahon and help Holmberg take advantage of those tools, the strength, the size, the skating, all that stuff. Robertson's a curious one to me, because it's tough for me to believe that a Berube style game is going to help him, that he become more of a straight line, get it in. Like, I don't think that you got to be special when you're 5'10 or whatever Robertson is. You know, you got to be a special player, and you need to have some lateral movement and vision and a shot and all that stuff. It hasn't looked like it did in the preseason. In the preseason, he was the Leafs' best player, arguably. And he is working and he's carrying the puck. He looks better. He looks more dynamic than he ever has in his previous seasons with the Leafs. But how long can it look like this, where he's just better and he's dynamic and he's carrying the puck? Or does he have to score? Or it's just not going to work here?
Well, when you're having team success, you can carry on the ride. I mean, there's no
totally
crisis.
Totally agree. It's not even about him, right? It's about the group.
There's no crisis. I mean, it's a crisis for him because if he's a healthy scratch or any other player and how they fit in. And they can talk team all you want, but you watch your ice time and you watch all those other things. And that's
especially
really
when
important.
He's on a one-year contract looking for another one next year, right? Yeah.
But I think Craig Berube, and part of any coach is you have a certain style, but you also have to understand players play differently, and you've got to find a way for them to get the most out of a player. And I think that's where Nick Robertson, like you alluded to, Justin, he's not afraid of the fit, but he's not going to intimidate you physically. He's not the guy, like he's going to do, it's going to be speed and other things, and hopefully get some goals and, you know, be that Nick Paul in the playoffs. Like somebody be the Nick Paul. It didn't have to be Kucherov or Braden Point for Tampa Bay. So, you know, someone be like Gary Volk did years ago, get a big goal for Toronto in the playoffs, anybody. And he's the one guy that possibly could do that. So I think there's an understanding that, you know, it's a different kind of style of play. And again, it's early, but you're right. I'd like to see, I pull for him all the time. I look how he battled through injuries and everything. And, you know, the sacrifice he made to stay here to rehab that year and then got hurt again. And, you know, we're talking like Joe Wall almost about his propensity in the past to get hurt. So we'll see.
In the last couple games, like he's getting playing time. Like he played 14 against the Pittsburgh Penguins, 14:39 against the Kings. That's up.
He's been pretty fine.
Yeah.
Just without the production.
It looks like a different human than it did in the preseason.
Yeah.
Where he was just undeniably great shooting everything in the net. Yeah. The puck was finding him in the sweet spot. I think it's good that they have the competition at the bottom of the lineup here now, because, you know, a guy who scored 330 goals in the NHL and Pacioretty is missed a game against the Kings and is on the outside looking in again here when they're practicing before the game tomorrow.
Yeah.
Like, this is what they've talked about from the start with there being competition and there being options. Mm-hmm. And I think they tried it in the Keith era and they tried to say that, but I don't actually think it...
There was never any competition.
No. Like, it just, you kind of knew who you were going to play.
Where you're like, you got to get him in.
Yeah, but, no, they like to lie. There's not enough seats. It's like an airplane and people are on standby. There's the forwards and not enough seats. And I guess since Austin Matthews finally scored a goal, we got to worry about other people now.
Yeah.
Right? They all went under that when Austin hadn't scored. Everyone else was secondary.
I will confidently say that the game against Pittsburgh where he didn't score was the best game he's ever played where he didn't score a goal.
Yeah.
He was unbelievable in that game. He didn't score a goal.
But I do want then to kind of take this moment, and this is not a knock on my pal that I usually host with, but he is not always the most positive. Oh, I was supposed to give fans this like big dose of Leafs positivity. But we have our guest, so it'll never happen. We are now joined by Dave Maloney of MSG Network, former Rangers defenseman. Dave, how are you? Thanks for joining us.
I'm doing well, actually. I parked out underneath the lakeshore we're underneath here?
Yeah.
It's a beautiful day here in Toronto. So I'm here with my brother and sister-in-law and my niece. So We're just kind of wandering around. So how are you guys doing?
We're good. We're good. Good to catch up with you, Dave. And we're trying to get the mystery of, okay, Matt Rempe, the guy that they played in high-profile spots all last year, appeared to play well, and now isn't playing. So because they're wanting Ryan Reeves, Matt Rempe, then you go, geez, Matt Rempe hasn't played very much. And what's the reason as far as you see it?
Well, there's a couple of things. I mean, the myth was bigger than, you know, fact.
Right.
Last year, he exploded on the scene, and really, he didn't play a lot. I mean, there were an awful lot of things to be excited about. He's an interesting character. He's a big man. You know, obviously, the physical stuff he got involved in right away, and he became a cult figure way, way, way ahead of his time. Now, he worked. You know, he worked his behind off in the summer, and I thought he had a pretty good camp. And but again, Peter Laviolette, you know, it's like a lot of teams carrying the extra forward. Does he deserve to be in the lineup? Could he be? Yes. But Laviolette has really always liked Johnny Brodzinski, and Brodzinski brings a little more speed, a little more, you know, just kind of tenacious kind of presence. But that shouldn't be anything to take away from what Rempe hasn't done. You know, I just think it's a fact that, and the other guy, Edstrom, has come in, and Edstrom's just a little smoother, a little better offensive player, a little stronger on his feet. You know, he's a big, strong, you know, he's got some offensive savvy to him. So it's, again, I think, you know, Larry Brooks of the Post, and there are people that would agree that, you know, the impact of a guy like Rempe is going to become springtime, but you've got to, somehow, if he's in your plans, you've got to figure out a way to get him minutes. That was my kind of observation over the summertime, was if indeed he was going to be part of it, you've got to figure out a way to get him minutes. And not being in the lineup doesn't help his development that way.
No, certainly not. But, you know, that is a very good hockey team, New York Rangers hockey team,
right,
that you've been covering for a while here. And so, knowing they're playing the Leafs on Saturday night, I wonder if you could give us just a quick summation of their regular season to date. What have you seen out of this Rangers team to start the season?
Well, the thing that's most impressive to me is this team is deep. You know, they have 12 forwards. Yeah. And both the opening game and last night in Detroit, now they stake themselves to a lead with their, you know, the top guys. We start in goal with Shesterkin in Pittsburgh, and he holds the fort. Last night, they take a couple of penalties early. Quick makes the saves he has to make. They score, and then their depth is allowed to play. And that's, you know, and it's funny, we talked to Rempe. You know, the game he played in against was Utah. They were chasing the score. He couldn't get in the lineup. But when this team is cooking on all cylinders, they're deep. They are deep in the right positions, starting with goal. The difference may very well be, over to me, over the long run, is going to be Hedl, Kako, and Cooley. You know, that's, you're getting into now 7, 8, and 9 in your lineup that can threaten you offensively, and you're not giving up an awful lot. So I just think, you know, again, this is my 20th season doing this, and honestly, I think this is a really good team, and they're deep, and it might be the deepest team that I've seen over the time that I've been doing it.
So, Dave, What do Ranger fans say comparable to Leaf fans about the years of lack of playoff success? Like, the Leaf recipe's been the same. They basically, you lose the deciding game. I know they got eliminated by Florida in 5 games a couple of years ago, but they lose the game 7. The big guns that score so plentifully in the regular season don't. Like, they didn't get more than 2 goals per game in the 7 against Boston last year. So how do you quantify what the fans are saying in New York now about, okay, we really like our team, but this is what's pissed us off in the playoffs year after year, and this is what we needs to change?
Well, I'm not sure that it's what the fans say. From my observation, I think at the end of the day, you need to have a couple of top 6 guys that are going to chew somebody's arm off to make a play. And that intangible is really hard to find.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you look at Bennett, you look at Tkachuk and the whole attitude that Florida comes with. So you can say, like, the Rangers top 6. Listen, you get to game 5, game or whatever it was last year against Florida. You know, but at the end of the day, it's just, do you have that intangible with the guys that are going to be playing
19 minutes, 22 minutes. It's one thing to say, okay, we'll bring in Ryan Reeves, we'll bring in Matt Rempe, we'll bring in these guys. But they're going to play, if they're playing at that time of the year, they're going to play 6 minutes. I just think you need every team. You go back to 94, the Rangers, you had Mark Messier, right? You had Adam Graves. Guys that when push comes to shove, you know, you look at those great Devil teams. The top, your top players, I think. And that's why it's so hard to win with everything else being equal. To me, those teams that eventually prevail have some snarl with the guys that are going to command most of the ice time.
Well, and Dave, to me, like you're talking about, Nathan MacKinnon does that for Colorado. Mark Stone does it for Vegas. Like these are recent champions, and you do see that. So go ahead.
And how about Sid?
How about Sid? Yeah. I would chew your arm off.
You know, how about Taves? How, you know, I mean, these Kopitar. Are guys, and Kopitar, the guys that when it comes down to it, and that's an intangible that's hard to find, and the teams that seem to find it with their top players, lots of times to me, end up at least competing, if not winning the finals.
Well, and so we're kind of talking about Artemi Panarin here. He is first in the NHL in scoring right now, 11 points, 5 goals and 6 assists in 4 games played. I mean, exceptional start for him. But, you know, it's sort of the same conversation we have here in Toronto when, you know, Mitch Marner or Nylander or Matthews, they're not that guy either who are going to chew your arm off necessarily. So, you know, is it a matter of filling in around those guys, or does it got to come from within, a guy like Panarin or Zibanejad or whoever it may be? Lafreniere has some of that, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. He really does. And, you know, he's young. He's got a bit of a snarl. Listen, and I say, if it was that easy to find, every team would have it in their top players. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just an intangible. You can't say, oh, okay, I'm going to go on. And really, it's not to a discredit to any of those top players. That's just not in their makeup. Now, the other side of that, from a Rangers standpoint, the Rangers don't get to the success they've had in postseason without Artemi Panarin's regular season.
Right.
And it's the same with Lundqvist. The knock against Lundqvist was, well, he hasn't won a cup. Well, let me tell you something. They have no shot without Lundqvist during the regular season. Mm-hmm. So it's just, like I say, it's just not that easy to say, okay, we've got, you know, it's funny. I was talking to a couple of guys who have won cups. Really, what does it take? There's just so many things that have to fall into place. Mm-hmm. Let alone do you have that last intangible that is virtually impossible to find.
Yeah.
So to me, it's not a criticism of any of the elite players. It's just a bit of a reality that one should consider when you're looking at that final thing that might be missing. And I've seen that with the Ranger team.
Absolutely. Well, Dave, we appreciate your time joining us on the show today. Enjoy the game tonight and have a great call.
All right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
No problem. Thank you. That was Dave Maloney of MSG Network, former New York Rangers defenseman and the youngest ever Ranger to wear the C.
Yeah, well, and I'm older, so I remember him wearing the C, I believe, for the Kitchener Rangers.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah. He was on the Kitchener Rangers, yes.
Ranger for life.
That Ranger for life. It seemed like the old sponsorship days, but no. And he's been doing a long time and solid D back in the John Davidson era and others they played. You know, it's funny. The other comparable is Rangers-Leafs. There's so many comparables.
Yeah, there are.
And the one was being asked about the Mitch Marner contract that he wants to park. So Igor Shesterkin said, you know what? I'm in the same situation. Let's talk about me.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, Igor Shesterkin now, the last 10 days about, you know, turning down $11 million a year, apparently, has become a much more hot-button topic than anything about Mitch Marner's contract status.
Yeah. Well, either way, a lot of superstars in town. It's going to be a great game.
Oh, yeah.
Two of the best teams of the year so far, Saturday night. Join us then. We'll be back after this. We're going to talk with Luke Gastic about the Edmonton Oilers and the rest of teams in Canada. We will be back after this break.